This is The Record with Steve Scheer. I'm Ross Reynolds. Back in the 1930s and 40s, Boeing founder Bill Boeing and his wife developed a set of subdivisions in North Seattle and Shoreline. One subdivision was called Innis Arden. And as you came to the entrance of Innis Arden, you would have seen a sign saying, a restricted residential community. Now, in that case, restricted meant there was language in the housing contract called a covenant, which said things like no Ethiopians or no Hebrews. This kind of language was found all over Seattle in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and it may indeed be in the deed to your house. That language is illegal now, but some of it still exists in local real estate records. That's where UW history professor James Gregory and his students found it. They've been combing through these records to find that racially restrictive language. And you've got a database now of 415 of these covenants at the segregated Seattle website that your students and you set up. What's some of the most striking language that you found?
The language is varied. Some of it says whites only or Caucasians only. The more interesting covenants prescribe certain racial groups, and the language can say no Negroes. Sometimes in the 20s and 30s, the term Ethiopian was substituted for black or Negro. Malays, which referred to Filipinos, Asiatics, Mongolians, lots of strange and often sort of anthropological language used to prescribe certain groups. And in some cases, as you mentioned, the term Hebrew or Semites was used to exclude Jews.
By anti-Semites. Mm-hmm. I live in Ballard. What kind of language did you find in some of the covenants there?
If you go online to the Seattle Civil Rights and Labor History Project, just Google it, you'll see this database of about 416 covenants. They cover neighborhoods all throughout King County, and you can more or less see the patterns of segregation. It's the central area and the international district that didn't have covenants, and those were the only safe places for people of color to live. So Ballard Sunset, I'm looking at it, it says, no part of said property hereby conveyed shall ever be used or occupied by any Hebrew or by any person of the Ethiopian, Malay, or Asiatic race.
Amazing. I mean, I think I looked at my deed. I don't recall having seen that in my deed. Could I have overlooked it, or might it not have been there?
Well, since 1968, it's been illegal to discriminate on the basis of race or other dimensions. And so title companies, when they report deeds at the time of a transaction, will typically not report those provisions. They will excise it in some manner or another. And the reason they do that is makes complete sense, and in many cases is actually conforming to the law, because you don't want to have anything that discourages people from moving there. But if you inquire or search back or ask the title company to find the full record of the property, you may find that your property has one of these racial restrictions.
And it sounds like it's not that easy to do.
No. So the research we did, teams of students working with me over the course of several years, working in the county recorder's office where deeds are recorded, we had to go back to find properties recorded in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. These restrictions stopped being written at the very end of the 1940s. And it's a very laborious sort of needle in the haystack process. You just look at the microfilm, look from deed to deed, and hope you can see this language embedded in the deed.
Because you were mentioning you can't even look it up by address. You have to look up by the date it was filed. So it is kind of like a needle in a haystack. Right. Now, this kind of housing discrimination, you can't put that in deeds now. It was ruled unenforceable back in 1948. In 1968, it was made unenforceable at a practical level here in Seattle. But when you look at housing patterns around the city, do you still see the legacy of these covenants in where people are living?
Oh, absolutely. I think these covenants and other segregation practices have had a very long half-life. Seattle is still marked in many ways by these deeds, particularly North Seattle, I'd say, where, you know, desegregation has been the slowest. The fact that only the 5/6 of the African-American population of Seattle lives below the Ship Canal, that's a legacy of this segregation. The fact
You've been talking about this research for quite some time, and when you put it out there, what kind of reactions do you get from audiences?
Well, some people are amazed. Other people actually know this, depending upon who we're talking about. Some of this is quite familiar. Older African Americans, certainly, this is not anything new, and they're just interested that finally the story is coming out more widely. But people who have moved to Seattle more recently and younger people often think, oh, segregation, that's something that happened in the South. Civil rights movements, that's something that happened in the South. And the Seattle Civil Rights and Labor History Project is dedicated to informing us all that this is our history, and to some extent it's also our present.
And James Gregory is the director of that project. He's also a history professor at the University of Washington. One of the things that you can see on the site are maps where you can see a lot of this laid out. You could link to them from our website, kuow.org. Jim, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
This is The Record on KUOW.